Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
In these days of ubiquitous social media, how much of our identity or well-being are tied up in our online image? That's one of the questions behind the Australian Psychological Society's Digital Me Survey, a national survey of adults and teens, which examined how the widespread use of digital technology and social media is affecting our well-being, our behaviour and our self-image. They surveyed more than 1,000 adults and 150 teens. Now, despite what you might think, the survey found that by and large, people's experience of digital technologies, life online if you like, is positive. Dr. Lynn O'Grady is the Manager of Strategic Projects at the Australian Psychological Society. Welcome to Open House.
Thank you very much.
Firstly, as a clinical, in your clinical practice, you see a lot of young people for whom online life has become a real nightmare, don't you?
Well, for many young people, it's part of life these days. So the young people are growing up with this.
So to the extent that life is a nightmare, online life is...
Well, it's kind of adult looking at it in a different way, perhaps, to young people. So young people are really, you know, getting a lot out of it, but that's not to say there aren't challenges. And for some young people, it would be an absolute nightmare if we're talking about things like cyberbullying. That would be a nightmare. But there's lots of great stuff that they're telling us that they get from technology.
Yes, well, looking at the results of your research, that's the general sense that I'm getting. And you can't unscramble that egg. Young people today are the digital age. They're digital natives. Digital life for 99.9% of them is their life. It's a component of their life.
Yep.
Is that why you were getting a positive result here?
Yeah, look, I think there's lots of positives. It was teenagers as well as adults. So the survey had 1,000 adults that were surveyed and just over 150 teenagers. So some of the interesting findings were also that adults are really engaged in technology as well, and all across the age span, and obviously the older people are not as involved as younger adults, but adults as well, and using it for lots and lots of different ways. So for connection, for entertainment, for mobile phones, using that for GPS is something that adults are using it for, and game consoles for young people. So there's a whole range of technologies. So when we're talking about technology, we're actually talking about a whole lot of different things and meeting different needs.
To what extent were those people you were surveying seeing their identity as being wrapped up in their online presence, and did that differ according to age?
Yeah, look, this was something that was interesting because particularly something like Instagram, where people are putting up their images and they can use filters to improve their images, and so measures of self-esteem. So there was comparisons between people who were heavy users of Instagram and their self-esteem. So that was some of the measures that were looked at. And, of course, it's hard to know which way it goes. So people who were more heavily using that did have lower self-esteem, but we don't know if that's because Instagram and that whole sense of who I am being caught up in that is the problem, or whether people with low self-esteem are actually seeking out approval and then they don't get it, so then they feel bad. So it's difficult with all of these, with research, it's often difficult to make those definite claims. But there's certainly a connection with that. And for young people, they were certainly talking about being annoyed about people using filters to change the way they looked, but they did that a lot themselves. So, you know, there's always a few mixed messages that come through as well, you know, in terms of how people are using it. And we're still early days, I guess, in terms of exploring all of this and what it really means.
Well, it's a massive experiment. We don't yet know the results. Yeah. In 100 years, we're probably still wishing we hadn't done certain things. So what about the darker side, the bullying side?
Yeah, look, that it is worrying. We do know that. And what we found in this survey that I found really interesting was that there are many adults that also reported having the same kind of experiences. And I think many of these adults in the survey were parents, so the young people were recruited but through the adults in the survey. So it was the parents who were completing the survey as well as the young people. And so many of the adults did talk about their own experiences of being trolled or cyberbullied and getting into arguments with strangers online, and posting things that they wish they hadn't. So this whole notion of adolescents experiencing difficulties with bullying is kind of important, but we've also got parents and adults who are really struggling with this as well. And the more involved they are in using their mobile phone, for example, the greater the risk is that they're having that experience on a fairly regular basis. So I think that was really concerning, that adults are struggling with this, and then they're the parents trying to guide and support their teenagers who are also struggling with it. So I think that's a bit of a gap. I think we're often just talking about, you know, young people and how we help them to manage it, but I think we need to do a bit more around supporting adults as well.
Oh, indeed. And on the issue of trolling that you mentioned, with good reason, we often worry about this issue of older people contacting teenagers online. But in your survey, only 10%, just under 10% of teenagers said they'd been contacted.
Yeah, look, I'm glad you picked up on that, because often that's a question I'm asked, that people jump on that as a bit of a headline, you know, that strangers are out there contacting young people. But like you say, it was only 10% of the young people in the survey that reported that they're actively engaging with and communicating with strangers online on a daily basis. So, you know, it certainly wasn't all of them. And of course, we don't know who these strangers are. So, and developmentally, these kids were 14 to 17 years of age. So developmentally, they're actually in a stage where they're in, you know, the non-face-to-face world, the real world, if you like to call it that, would be out there making contact with new people, developing new interests, doing new things. So it's not unusual developmentally for them to be wanting to reach out and meet strangers. And if they're doing things like gaming online, well, there will be strangers that they're having contact with. So I think, you know, we always want to be careful, and I'd hate to say that, you know, there's no risk here, because there can be, but it's not all those strangers that are, you know, predators, or that these young people aren't engaging in it themselves. They could be actively seeking out strangers as well. So we don't want to take away young people's agency in here, that they're just victims waiting for, you know, predators. It's just not that simple.
Yes, and I'm very mindful that if I discuss this with young people, they'll often look at you in this kind of knowing way and say, oh, look, we've got it under control. Like, we look after each other. We do understand that. So they're not as naive, perhaps, as we give them credit for.
No, and it seems from the survey that's the adults that are perhaps more naive and getting caught up in it, because we haven't grown up with it. So we're trying to make sense of it. Yeah. Young people have grown up with it. It is part of their life, that they have often had education and getting taught about it and being warned about it, whereas adults haven't. We've grown up in the world that didn't have it. So we're still trying to make sense of it for ourselves, and maybe falling into some of these traps as well.
Indeed. Dr. Lynn O'Grady is with us from the Australian Psychological Society, and a survey of internet use, technology use, I guess, by Australians aged 14 to whenever, into adulthood.
65 plus is our whenever.
Thank you.
And they're the ones that are using it least, as we might expect.
Yeah. You spoke about gaming a moment ago. Did the issue of addiction arise in your survey?
Yeah, look, I think we've got to be careful around things like addiction when we're talking about technology, and particularly something like gaming, which is an entertainment and a hobby and an interest. There's a bit of debate in an international world at the moment around mental health professionals around this, because gaming addiction has come out in the World Health Organization as a possible sort of diagnostic criteria. And there's people pushing back against that, saying we've got to be careful about this. So what we were looking at in the survey was the amount of time that people were spending on using technology. But we didn't break it down into exactly what they were doing. But we know that young people are using 3.3 hours a day of technology of different sorts. But that's an average. And there would be some that are experiencing more difficulty. So I think for parents who might be listening, it's important that we kind of put it in context. We sort of understand the different ways that people are using technology. And for something like gaming, if it's fun, it's entertainment, it's, you know, a way of de-stressing, it's a way of keeping contact with friends, I think there's lots of healthy parts to that. If it's something that's tipping over into spending all night playing, so you don't get up in the morning, that you're missing out on other things that are important, and families impacted by it, that there's, you know, there's changes in behaviour, well, and I think that's when you start to worry about it. But I think, it's kind of reluctant to use language around addiction, because it's just, I don't think it's that clear cut. And, you know, sometimes we sort of can use that language in the community in pretty unhelpful ways, particularly when we're talking to young people about that, because they don't people that might want to be seeing themselves as addicted when they're having a good time, and there can be benefits to it. So I think it's about what are they using it for, any technology, what's the purpose of it, and what impact is it having on the rest of their life, I think is important to think about, rather than language of addiction on its own.
Yes, as it would be, yes, a sensible approach as it would be with other forms of addiction. But is it fair to say, yeah, you know, this might go beyond your survey, but my observation would be that we're all becoming a lot more dependent.
Yeah.
And here's my confession. Well, when I get up in the morning, what do I do? Yeah. I check my email. For goodness sake, I check my email.
Yeah.
As if.
That's right. And I have a train. I have a commute for like a half an hour, 40-minute commute, and I could be reading a book. I always have a book in my bag. But I can lose that time very easily by doing the checking the email, checking Facebook, checking Instagram, checking LinkedIn. And then I get to my destination. It's like, oh, wow, I've lost that time. So I think that's very true. And I think that came true in that high involvement with mobile use, and it was when people were looking at last minute at night. And of course, that can impact on your sleep. You've got your blue light getting into your brain, and you've got stimulation happening that affects your sleep then first thing in the morning, and with other people, and when you're eating, it's all that kind of stuff impacts on life. So I do think we have to, I think this survey did alert us that we have to be aware of this on how we spend our time, and what are we missing out if we're spending all this time doing this.
Yeah, great point. Well, Lynn, thank you for doing the research, and thank you for speaking with us on Open House.
No problem. Thanks, Stephen.
Dr. Lynn O'Grady, and she's from the Australian Psychological Society. She manages, amongst other things, the Kids Matter Project for the Society. She's been a school psychologist. She's got a lot of background, and delight to talk to you about that research. And what about that last point? What do we spend our time on? That's where your money is, there your heart will be, said Jesus.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.